Morning. Good morning. What a great morning it is. We're glad to see so many here this morning. And I'd like to extend a warm welcome not only to those that are here in our audience, but also those who are joining us via video over the web stream. Many of you know that we broadcast our services every Sunday and morning and Sunday evening to many in the community. And we've gotten several comments from folks in the community and members who are not able to be here through sickness or other reasons that they're glad they're able to participate. So we welcome all who are here with us this morning. One thing to know as a visitor as well is that I am not the normal speaker at this congregation. As John mentioned earlier, we are in the process of searching for a new man to join us and to serve as a minister here. And we've had three great men come and join us and allow us an opportunity to get to know them a little bit better. And ask that you continue to pray for the preacher search committee and the elders as we reflect on the best man moving forward. But hasn't this been a great opportunity to have several different men fill the pulpit and hear different perspectives? It's been a great opportunity for multiple men to grow, and I've certainly enjoyed putting this lesson together as well. So that's something that we'll certainly continue. Hit it, Jesse. There you go. Many years ago, in a time before GPS and a time before radar, a great battleship was operating off the coast of a foreign land. As part of that battleship's operation, the seas became a little stormy, the fog started to roll in, and so the captain decided to stay on the bridge during the operation of the battleship. And so as the night drug on through that evening, all of a sudden, the watchman high in the tower called out, said, "Captain, there is a light dead ahead, approximately 2 miles." That meant that there was a ship in the channel. So the captain said, "Is the light moving? Is it moving out of the way? Is it moving from left to right or right to left?" The answer came back, "The light's not moving." And so the captain ordered the radio man to tap out a signal. Back in the days of Morse code, it was beep, 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 beep. So he tapped out a signal that said, "Change your course 20 degrees east." In a few minutes, the signal came back, "Change your course 20 degrees west." This didn't sit well with the captain at all. He was very upset. So he tapped back, "I am the captain. You change your course 20 degrees east." And in a few minutes, the answer came back, "I am second class Parker. Change your course 20 degrees west." That sent the captain through the roof. Very, very upset, and you can imagine how captains get. So he answered back, "This is the USS Alabama. This is a mighty battleship of the United States Navy. Change your course 20 degrees east." Soon the answer came back, "This is the lighthouse. Change your course 20 degrees west." Nevertheless, the captain quickly made that change. This is a picture of the USS North Carolina. Jeff, I had to use the USS Alabama. I think it was the USS Alabama, as a matter of fact. But this is the USS North Carolina. I had the opportunity to visit the USS North Carolina a while back. And it is truly a massive and magnificent ship. The USS North Carolina was commissioned on April 1st of 1941, right when the United States was entering World War II. It was the newest and most modern battle weapon in the arsenal of the United States Navy. But as our story illustrates, change was not something that battleships did well at the time. Within 9 months of the time that battleship was launched, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor with an entirely new weapon, airplanes, dropping bombs from the air, far out of reach of any guns of any battleship. All of a sudden, in a moment, the most powerful weapon that the United States had was obsolete. Things had changed. Things had changed and had changed forever. You know, change is hard. Have you noticed that in your life? Change is hard. Within our congregation, we are in a period of change. You know, think about it. In the last 9 months, we've had several new families place membership, a great change. We've installed new elders. We've installed new deacons. A beloved and longtime preacher has retired, and now we're in the process of selecting a new man to fill the pulpit. Within the past year, we've experienced the loss of two men, Skip Cole and C.W. Hager, who were great examples of men and leadership in this congregation, had a very positive impact on this church. Indeed, we've been impacted by change, and change is hard. Change is hard. Perhaps you've experienced change on a personal level. You know, in the past few months, I've experienced change on a personal level. I've seen a daughter leave for college. I've seen in the past month over 500 of my coworkers at Lowe's lose their jobs, embark on new challenges in life. I feel that loss and big changes, difficult changes. Change is hard. Change is definitely hard. In fact, change is one of the leading causes of stress and mental illness. People are searching for guidance during times of change, but as Christians, we know that there is only one book that has the right answers to help us understand and react to change, and that's the Bible. So today, I'd like to spend a little time talking about change. The Bible is our guide during times of change. As we jump into that, the first thing that we know about change and that we can be confident of is that the Bible tells us that change is to be expected. Change is to be expected. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 through 19, we read about the first foreclosure and eviction. We read about the first sin. It says to Adam, following the sin in the Garden of Eden, because you listened to your wife and you ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Though painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. And then later in verse 23, 24, it says, so the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground for which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword swashing back and forth to guard the way, the truth of life. Later in Genesis, as was read, BJ read, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not change. Shall not cease. It's important to understand that sin created change in the relationship between man and God, and thus we live in a world that is constantly changing and will ultimately pass away, as we know from 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31. And as Christians, we have to be alert. We have to understand that this is temporary, and we have to expect change. It should not be a surprise that things change. Ultimately, we watch for the biggest change, when the Lord comes again. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 through 44, it says, therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the household had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you may not expect. We have to be ready for change. We have to expect change. And we have to know from the Bible that change is to be expected. The other thing we know from the Bible is that change creates opportunity. Horatio Spafford, 43-year-old Chicago businessman, suffered financial disaster in the Great Fire of 1871. He and his wife were still grieving over the death of their son shortly before the fire, and he realized that he needed to get away for a vacation. Knowing that his friend Dwight Moody was going to be preaching in an evangelistic campaign in London, England in the fall, Spafford decided to take the entire family to England. His wife and four daughters went ahead on a great ocean liner, and he planned to follow in a few days. But on that ocean liner, as his family was crossing the Atlantic, the ship was struck by an iron sailing vessel and sank within 12 minutes. 260 lives were lost in that accident, including the Spaffords' four daughters. When the survivors were brought to the shore, Miss Spafford cabled her husband and says, I'm saved, but me alone. Spafford booked passage on the next ship, and as they were crossing the Atlantic, the captain pointed to the place where the ship had gone down. That night, Spafford wrote the words to a song that we sing often in this congregation. When sorrows like sea billows roll, it's well with my soul. That gave him the opportunity to write that song. I'd like for us to sing now. If you will, take your songbook. Let's turn to number 504, and let's sing that song and sing the first verse of that song and reflect on those words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. Is it well with our souls during time of change? This loss of Horatio Spafford gave him the opportunity to write that song, and is certainly an encouragement to us. The book of Acts tells us of another change that created opportunity. In Acts chapter 8, verse 1, we read about the persecution of the church. The Bible says, on that day, in Acts 8, 1, on that day a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. We know that the persecution, but through that persecution, the gospel was spread and new congregations of the Lord Church were planted throughout the region. A significant change. God used that change to create opportunity for His good. You know, as Christians, we need to be open to the opportunities that come with change. Are we open to those opportunities? As I mentioned earlier, our new preacher will be different from Rob Albright and many others. Are we open to that change and the new opportunities that will be presented to reach out to our community and so forth? Within the coming year, we may be faced with a decision about this building, a building that that we've been in for a long time. I've raised my children in this building. They've gone to the classrooms, but is it time for a change? We've got that decision ahead of us. Many of you are facing changes on a personal level, job changes, school changes. Are your eyes open to new opportunity as a result of that change? You know, as a warning, though, the Bible tells us that not all changes are good. There's a story in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, that we read of about a change that was not pleasing to God. It says, Now Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took their respective fire pans, and after putting fire in them, they placed incense on it and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He had not commanded them. And the fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Nadab and Abihu decided to make a change. We don't know why they decided to change the fire. We don't know the exact nature of that. Was something added that wasn't supposed to be added? Was something about the fire was different, was changed, and they were not authorized and were given instructions not to make that change? We've got to make changes that are acceptable to Him. And we also read in 2 Peter a warning about false teachers that may advocate changes that are not consistent with God's word. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who brought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of the truth into disrepute. In their greed, those teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping." You know, when faced with a decision about whether to make a change or how to react to a change, in our personal lives or in other means, we must do so in the context of the Bible. We need to search the Scriptures for a direct command that provides us with guidance on the proposed change. Is this something that the Bible directly commands us to do or to not do? We need to search the Scriptures for an example of what New Testament Christians did that was pleasing unto God. Can we see examples of parallels in the Bible where someone did something and it was pleasing to God? That's a sign that it's a good change. We need to search the Scriptures for reasonable inference, reasonable conclusion based on the whole of Scripture in terms of what the Bible says about that proposed change. You know, sometimes after we've examined Scripture, there's still a choice as we try to interpret things. You know, I remember driving, Angie reminded me on the way here that exactly 1 year ago we were in California on a great family vacation. And during that vacation, we drove up US 1 Highway. Some of you maybe have been up US 1 Highway between Los Angeles and San Francisco. It's a windy road. It's a beautiful road, but on one side it has a steep mountain, and on the other side it has a steep cliff. And so when you find yourselves in those type of situations, take the advice that your mother and your wife constantly gives you. Stay away from the edge. That's good advice. Stay away from the edge. Let's think about what are we doing. When you have a choice, let's stay away from the edge. Let's err on the side. Truth. The next thing that we know from the Bible is that the Bible gives us comfort that God does not change. He is our rock that we can rely on during times of change. James chapter 1, verse 17 tells us, "Whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above, who created all heavenly lights. Unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows." Psalms chapter 102, from 26, 27 tells us, "Thus, while ordinary things undergo transformation, the changeless Creator does not. He is the same forever." Isn't that comforting during times of change, during whatever is happening in our lives? What a great comfort that is. You know, the book of Joshua tells us, expounds on this, and provides us with an example of the Israelites depending on God's changeless nature, despite many changes that they had, that they were facing. In Joshua 1, it says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all of the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, sure I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to the ancestors to give them." Indeed, you know, the Israelites were facing a large number of changes. Moses has died, the leader that had led them for so long. There was a leadership shift now to Joshua. And in this short segment of verses, we also find it's time to cross the river. It's time to change. It's something we've been anticipating. It's now time to change and take the land. But despite all these changes, we know through this segment of Scripture that God doesn't change. His promises didn't change. Just because the leader changed, his promises didn't change. And he gave them comfort and strength and encouragement in the time of change. And they reacted to it and were successful. Now, finally, one thing we know from the Bible is the Bible tells us that we will be judged by whether we changed. We will be judged by whether we changed. Staying the same is not an option. Staying the same is comfortable, certainly. Folding our hands, laying back, staying the same is comfortable, but we'll be judged by whether we made the right changes and whether we change. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 16, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, a new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here." Becoming a Christian is all about change. It's all about change. It's all about growing. And we need to have the right attitude as it relates to change. As we've studied, the Bible tells us that change is to be expected. The Bible shows us that change often creates opportunity. The Bible tells us that not all changes are good and gives us instruction on evaluating those changes. The Bible gives us comfort in knowing that God does not change, but the Bible tells us that we will be judged according to whether we changed. You know, the reality is, a lot of times we are like that battleship captain. For various reasons of pride or habit or laziness or fear, we refuse to change. We refuse to change course. We refuse to recognize the light for what it truly is. God is the lighthouse. His light shines into a dark world, providing hope and providing salvation for those that are willing to change, for those that are willing to respond, for those that are willing to recognize it for what it is. Not everyone is willing to respond, but that doesn't change who the lighthouse is. That doesn't change the fact that that is the lighthouse. When the sea billows roll, when changes rock the boat, God's light gives us comfort and support. And then when we're headed in the wrong direction, when we're about to hit the rocks, God's light shines. But the decision to change is up to us. We have an opportunity to change. So I ask each of you, how are you reacting to change? How are you reacting to change in your personal life? How are you reacting to the opportunity that God has given us to change? Are you reacting to the light? Are you recognizing God's light for what it is and changing your life? If you are subject to the invitation tonight, there are many here who would love to study with you. We'd love to help you change. That's really, you think about this congregation. This congregation is about changes. It's about supporting each other during changes. It's about encouraging us to change and become closer and closer to God, closer and closer to that light that we can. If that opportunity pertains to you, I hope you'll come as together we stand and sing.